could help push this transition along much faster, but it's very difficult from a policy standpoint. Policymakers want more economic growth, and in the U.S., climate change can't even be talked about seriously in policy circles because you have one of the two political parties that denies that climate change is occurring, or if it is, because of CO2. So what is happening is largely happening as a result of the behavior change on the part of individuals, households, and communities. And there's so much that can occur from the bottom up. Village Vancouver is an example of that kind of community-based behavior change. As a society, if we can switch over time from expectations of more economic growth, from doing everything we can to make growth happen, even if it's imperiling the lives of future generations, if we can move from that model toward valuing quality of life, then we can make this transition go much, much easier and faster. And there are, even if we are seeing peak oil, there are a lot of things that aren't at peak. Things like a sense of satisfaction from honest work well done, intergenerational solidarity and cooperation, health of the environment, happiness and artistry. These are the things that make life worth living. And if rather than focusing just on GDP, we begin to think more about quality of life and target quality of life indicators, things like genuine progress indicator or gross national happiness, which has been pioneered by the little kingdom of Bhutan, then as consumption inevitably dwindles because of the factors we've been talking about, it won't necessarily mean misery for people. And if my concern is if we don't do these things, if we don't focus on quality of life, then as economies begin to contract because of energy constraints and because of increasing costs from the impacts of climate change, the result is going to be not just impoverishment, but also widespread social unrest, such as we're seeing in poor countries around the world where food prices are already higher than people can afford. So there are few of us in this room right now. This message needs to get out to a much wider audience. And we need to lead by example within our communities and support efforts like transition initiatives, Village Vancouver, and show that this is a transition that can be successful, it can be peaceful, and it can lead to actually some desirable outcomes over time. I salute you all for being here tonight and listening to a somewhat dire message in some respects, but you know, we are all in this together, like it or not, and I think we can face these issues and have a good time doing it. So I look forward to joining with you in the effort, and let's have some questions.
To the Extra Environmentalist. You can find our extensive audio archive of podcasts, radio broadcasts, blog articles, videos, and much more at www.extraenvironmentalist.com. We're also on Facebook if you search for Extra Environmentalist, and Twitter at XEnvironmental. We welcome all voicemails and feedback through our online contact information. You can find on our website, but also you can shoot us an email directly at podcast@extraenvironmentalist.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on our next episode.
wild, wicked wild, wicked, wicked wild, wild west. Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider. No, you don't want nada, none of this. Six gunning this, brother running this. Buffalo soldier, look, it's like I told you. Any damsel that's in distress, be out of that dress when she meet Jim West. Rough neck, so go check the law on the vibe. Watch your step, we'll flex and get a hole in your side. Swallow your pride, don't let your lip react. You don't wanna see my hand where my hip be at. With Artemis from the start of this, running the game. James West, taming the West, so remember the name. Now who you gonna call?
Not the GB.
Now who you gonna call?
G-W-G.
If you ever riff with fever, wanna bust,
break out
before you get bum rushed at
the Wild Wild West.
When I roll into the
Wild Wild West,
this when is I going a lot longer than I when I bounce into
the Wild Wild West.
It's going yeah.
Madman lost his damn mind in the West. Loveless.
Loveless.
Now, could you recite those last lyrics for us again?
Oh, he said, Pete? Once upon a time in the West.
Yeah.
That's both referencing the title of the movie, but also Once Upon a Time in the West, was that Morricone?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it Morricone soundtracked it, but it was, Sergio Leone, I think, that did that film.
Mm-hmm.
After doing Once Upon there was Once Upon a Time in the West, and then Once Upon a Time in America, which is considered his finest.
Oh, right.
So, yes, it's a reference to that, but also the geographical fact of the film is that it takes place in
the American West.
Are there geographical facts, really?
Are there, you mean objective or human defined?
We're playing this music because we just came from the Extra Environmentalist, which you can hear every week, Wednesdays, 2 p.m., sort of touching on various environmental issues, but also issues to do with contemporary capitalism, means of resisting it, resisting bigotry, systems of oppression, structural oppression. And
love
it's true.
Less.
We are in a loveless period in the wild, wild west of late capitalism, if you will.
We all will.
And you're listening to Cue It Up on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting live from UBC Vancouver, which is, of course, located on top of traditional, unceded Coast Salish Musqueam land. And I have a guest today. I'm John. Pete, our digital library coordinator, is here with me today because, to be frank, I had forgotten that I had a show and I needed to make
And I never
content.
Forget.
Is that a quote or like...
No, I'm just saying I never forget that you have a show. So I'm ready at 3 p.m. every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm, which is when you can typically hear Cue It Up on CITR 101.9 FM. You had just seen a video, Pete, and I think transitioning from the Extra Environmentalist, I always feel, back in the old station, CITR was located next to the Social Justice Center, and although our goals often aligned very cleanly, there was never as much collaboration as I would have liked. And now that I feel like my show has always, since its inception, I believe, bordered the Extra Environmentalist, or rather since the inception of the 3 p.m. on Wednesday start time, bordered the Extra Environmentalist, I feel like although I talk about these issues in the abstract very frequently, I don't necessarily touch on what has just been talked about in the previous episode of the Extra Environmentalist.
Right. Because you normally show up with about 2 minutes till air.
Which is why I brought you in, Pete, because
yes.
You are my resident.
I am here.
You are my resident Democracy Now! Lover and Danny DeVito fan. And I heard you had just watched a...
I identify as a DeVitite. I don't like the term Danny DeVito fan.
Anyhow, I heard
no
you had
dead
just,
air.
You had just heard about you had just watched a video with what's his name?
Martin Shkreli.
Mm-hmm. And what's his claim to fame for people who haven't heard of him?
He's got several now.
Yes.
But what brought him into the public? I was jacking up the price of AIDS medication.
To what degree?
Oh, to you mean to what magnitude?
Yes,
or,
yes.
He was just talking about it. I think it was $15, and he raised the price to $750. I think probably, I don't know, probably per treatment,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So, yeah, he's been quite controversial for that reason. He is also an avowed fan of music.
Mm-hmm.
And he, can you detail that while I cue up a track for us to listen to?
Oh, yeah.
Afterwards?
Yeah, he got attention because the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes.
You know them, right?
Killer Bees, yes.
Uh-huh. They had released a limited edition of one album.
Mm-hmm. That it was the RZA, from what I understand, meant for it to be an art piece, so that the idea is, you know, whoever possessed it could, you know, loan it to various galleries,
mm-hmm.
and tour with it, and like it would be a one of a kind art object.
Right. And as so often happens with art pieces, it was just bought up by someone who was actually rich enough.
There are really only two things worth investing in the contemporary world, and
mm-hmm.
that is contemporary art and Pacific Northwest real estate.
Uh-huh. And by worth investing in, do you mean worth it morally,
that
it's a good investment?
Oh, well, how do you figure
financially.
Morally? Like,
morally
what do you
or
mean
financially?
By that? What's a good investment morally?
Oh, well, I guess what
like
I mean
a
is...
school?
No, I guess in and of itself. Not morally, but, you know, non-financial
value.
Well,
I guess the question is just, I'm not quite sure what would fit that. What do you consider a good investment morally? Like a child?
No,
is
I'm sorry.
Is the laughter of children a moral investment?
Well,
I just want to make sure that you're not talking about like investments which are meant to make your money back, as opposed to the sole category of investments which you use to make your money back
financially.
Yes,
but couldn't you also make? Oh, I guess not morally, but spiritually.
You see what I mean, right?
I do. But I think I misspoke saying morally.
Okay.
Let's pretend I said spiritually.
Okay. Well, what's a good example of a spiritual?
Oh, just like coming on your show today. This has been a spiritual investment for me. It's not going to pay me back financially, but
yes, but it
the
will
gains...
result in exponential gains for the audience.
Exactly. I'm glad that we worked.
But yes, he bought the Soul Wu-Tang album, and
mm-hmm.
It turned out, and this was a rumor entirely, but there was a clause in the contract of ownership,
mm-hmm.
that. You know, and again, this was a mimetic thing. It had no relation to any actual facts in the case, but that the album could be legally stolen back by any member of the Wu-Tang Clan or Bill Murray. And of course, people were uproariously excited about this, the prospect
mm-hmm.
of this. They elevated it to the level of high... post-internet aughts legend.
Mm.
You know, nothing to say about the fact that it was nonsense to begin with, but I found that quite perturbing that people had that reaction.
Mm. Why were you perturbed?
I think it's because you can just be outrageous in today's society, and that in and of itself sort of sweeps away any, let's bring back that word, moral or spiritual consideration.
Mm.
You know, in favor. So, like, not to mention that the entire endeavor of, like, creating music for this very, you know, with this misguided idea of what art is to begin with, which many musicians I respect espouse all the time. Like, I remember around the time of Kanye West's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, he was talking about how he would have a special edition of that released. And it would be widely available, but his concept for it was that, like, it would be, like, the first piece of art you could own. Like, you know, kids have to be socialized into growing up and understanding that buying contemporary art is something that they need to do with their money. So besides
mm-hmm.
like the RZA's very misguided, I think, idea, you know, very luditic, frankly, idea of what art ought to be, that it has to exist in this like pre-aura, pre printing press period where everything, you know, had the purity of singularity.
Luddite, is that like a Luddite?
Like a Luddite, okay. I would say. Yes, like, you know, besides having that very backwards, to be frank, idea of what art ought to be, which is something that cannot be replicated, that only exists in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
In the 21st century, I'm not quite so sure. There's already the fact that, you know, he knew that it was going to go to, like, the highest bidder, and that that person would dictate who could listen to it, and that that's, you know, back to this extremely primitive model of artistic creation where artists had to have patrons and, you know, make art for those patrons, more or less, except now on the free market.
Sorry, you said that model was extremely, extremely what?
Primitive.
Okay.
And primitive in a pejorative sense, not primitive as right. in, like, resembling. Not that, you know, again, not to set up this Western dichotomy of primitive cultures to begin with, but that's what I mean by primitive in a pejorative sense, harkening back to, like, a period when artists had to exist through patronship.
Right.
So the entire endeavor was screwed from the get-go, but because there had been this funny anecdote about it, it seemed that any moral reckoning on, the behalf of the RZA and the Wu-Tang Clan, who, as Old Dirty B used to say, did it for the children, completely evaporated because people were just so excited about how hilariously meme-worthy the story was. It's like that egg salad that got a $50,000 Kickstarter or something. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing to be said about morally, really. A certain segment to be frank, very predominantly white, middle to upper class bourgeois, or, you know, petite bourgeois, who can send a $5 donation unthinkingly to this cause that absolutely doesn't deserve it, mm-hmm. and thus generate incredible amounts of capital based on just the ridiculousness of an idea.
A quick laugh.
Yes. And to be frank, I think, you know, even looking at American politics, a lot of the lack of resistance, and there is, of course, a lot of resistance, but a lot of the lack of resistance against a figure like Trump is because people think he's hilarious and that it's great having this outrageous figure. You don't even have to agree with him. Just the fact that he is outrageous is for a lot of people like grounds for keeping him around because of the circus.
Now, in the political realm, would you say that's just because people feel so disenfranchised politically that they might as well just get a laugh out of whatever they're going to support?
I think that's a very good point. I'm not so sure what to make of it in many cases, with the egg salad, for instance, uh-huh. or, you know, with this album. And I think that's definitely a fair point. But
yeah,
I don't know if it's solely because people are disenfranchised. I don't know if it's solely if people are disenfranchised. I think it is also, there is the cultural element of this becoming normative, like this response towards the ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of this spectacle of the absurd, especially with celebrity culture nowadays, especially with social media platforms.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe social media, because if you're donating to, I mean, I don't see anyone donating to the egg salad thing quietly and just leaving it alone. Mm-hmm, I feel mm-hmm. like they might be doing it for the experience that they can then, you know, I'm sure uh-huh. there's a way. I haven't ever used Kickstarter or donated yes. to it, but I assume you can share on Facebook, you know, that yes. you have donated to this and now you're part mm-hmm. of it. So.
Well, with Kickstarter, you also receive awards depending on how much you spend. And the person who set up the Kickstarter would determine those awards. So, like,
right.
say hypothetically you spent $5, you might get a photo of the egg salad. Or you spent $10, mm. you're going to get your name on the receipt for the egg or whatever, like any number of these things.
A bit like our upcoming station fun
Whoa.
Drive.
I don't know if we're supposed to talk about that yet, sorry. Pete. But yes, CITR does have a fun drive coming up every year. And if you would love to hear more great I actually think this conversation has not been altogether terrible for something completely spontaneous. Thank you for joining me, Pete.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm sure you've got to get back to work, too.
I do.
Soon. and we're going to listen. Last night I was at Soft Moon at Venue, and I'm always reminded whenever I go to a show like this.
Das Soft Moon.
Well, actually, Pete, maybe it would be good to get your opinion on this, because you're from Boston, so Uh-oh. I'd like to gauge your opinion for this. Mm-hmm. But Vancouver is, of course, the home of Skinny Puppy. And whenever
That's why I came here.
Yes. And whenever I go to shows which have a sort of gothic vibe to them, I'm reminded of absolutely like the actual quite large number, like the big community of people who are into digital hardcore music, mm-hmm. industrial music of that kind, like of that, you know, let's say poppier in structure, but not necessarily tone, like that kind of music. Like definitely the high energy Nine Inch Nails rock phase
right.
style music. A lot of people into it in
it's
Vancouver.
Okay. You can say industrial.
I did say industrial.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So we like opening for the Soft Moon was Koban, which is a local two-piece post-punk sort of band that I really like. And Left Spine Down was the second band up, also from Vancouver, as I discovered. I had no idea, although one of the band members' fathers was in the crowd, so there was definitely and you know, to speak frankly, as an upright Chinese boy, it's very nice to see some of East Asian persuasion have their father come out and support them at an event like that. I know a lot of people from that particular generation would not come out and support their son if they were in a band of that kind, you know, if they're old stock, immigrated to Canada. So that was heartwarming to see. But yeah, no, definitely an interesting thing. I'm not going to play that band because they don't really fit the style of the show or my taste necessarily. But we will hear some Soft Moon. We're going to hear some Pop 1280 because they just released a new album on Sacred Bones. And then maybe some, you know, Pop 280, 1280, were here a few years ago, played with some bands. Many of them are dropping out of my memory, but Channels 3 and 4, maybe we'll hear some of that. Yeah.
Oh, I
hear some things.
So were you saying, you were talking about the industrial pedigree of Vancouver.
Yes, Boston. Yeah. Do you have, like, industrial punks in your hometown?
I'm sure they're there, but
let's do our best JFK accents now.
Okay.
All right, clam chowder.
Actually, I can't do it.
What do you mean?
Skinny puppy. How's that? There's this new band. There's a new band out.
Wow.
Skinny puppy.
That's pretty good.
Let's go.
You're listening to Cue It Up on CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard Standing on the Edge from Koban. Before that, you heard A Soft Moon with Insides. And before that, you heard Pop 1280. Right now you're listening to Minimal Violence, Portrait number 2. And you gotta hear back from me soon, because I'm gonna decide what to listen to next. Cheers. I'm not afraid to
Ever had a hankering to ski the world-famous slopes of Whistler? Boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar Vancouver. Zipcar. Wheels when you want them.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
Full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue. Loading Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's one of the station's best, for sure. For sure, Exploding Head Movies, Monday nights. Just had a underpass on Olympia-based punk act. You originally from Vancouver, made their great big smash back into town just this week. And yeah, if you're interested, you know, if you're listening right now, we have an entire podcast system where you can go back and listen to any episode in our archives, anything you've missed. So much, like hours upon hours upon hours of, like, frankly, like, I mean, come on, Spotify is nice, it's convenient, but you want a real weirdo telling you what to listen to. Like, just some crazy, not a sensible person like myself who they allow on air at 3 in the afternoon. Come on. It's all there. CITR.ca. Go check it out. What we just heard was Ghosting's Live from Slime City, USA. Ghosting, evidently from Vancouver, as listed on any personal documents I can find, like SoundCloud page, his Bandcamp pages on other labels. It's very interesting for a vaporwave artist to identify themselves geographically. And Bryce Warnes just wrote, actually, I think I talked about this last week as well, but the new issue of Discorder is out on the streets now, and you can find it online. You can even get the PDF online from the site and just read it entirely online. But Bryce Warnes has an excellent review in the under review section where he writes about Ghosting's Telenites, which just got a re-release on Adhesive Sounds out of Toronto, sort of this vaporwave post-internet label out of Toronto. And it's interesting because he locates Ghosting's sort of taste for the local and specifically the Canadian local or even the Vancouver local, that again you don't really hear it with vaporwave artists very often. For them, it's usually about delocalization and playing with this idea of late capitalism and fluid transnationalism, globalism that the internet sort of allows. So Ghosting sort of sets himself aside or herself, or you know, whatever their gender may be, actually, apart from the crowd in that very interesting way. Before that, we heard Minimal Violence, two-piece, techno house act, very hardware-oriented, live hardware-oriented, that is. And they had offered their track, Portrait, number 2, That was a very strange way of phrasing that. What I meant to say is I played their track Portrait Number 2. Very odd way of parsing that. But yeah, that is what we heard then. Before that, we heard Coban's Standing on the Edge, the album Vida. Oh gosh. You'll notice if you listen to Cue It Up regularly, and that's Cue It Up on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from Vancouver, UBC, unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish land, that I have a knack for pronouncing things incorrectly. You know, I'm an advocate of Benjamin Franklin. Not many people know this, but Benjamin Franklin, one of his big causes that did not make it through, that had nothing to do with his being on the $100 bill, you know, the feats he having done, put out into the world, being enough to merit him that distinction. He wanted to simplify English. He wanted to remove a few letters. He wanted to make everything essentially phonetic, and very simply a phonetic for that matter. And it wasn't until the English press caught wind of this and just, oh, you know, it became this entire propagandistic thing of, oh, look at these uncultivated Americans, how silly and foolish they are, that people began to shy away from the idea. But it was an idea that gained a lot of popularity. And of course, English is a language which is very hard to parse for people who don't have that instinctual sort of the instinct that comes with it being their first language. I only have 15 minutes left on this show, so I'm just going to get on with it. What we heard before Coban, a two-piece post-punk act from Vancouver, opened for The Soft Moon just last night. And The Soft Moon's Insides from 2003, we heard that as well. And before that, we heard a track from Pop 1280. Let me just get the name of that up now, because I've lost the CD and I can't remember right off the top of my head. But Pop 1280, an industrial band from Brooklyn that I quite like. The track was Chromedia, and they've just released an album on Sacred Bones, Paradise, and that is worth giving a listen to. Yeah, let's hear some more music. It's kind of got a weird gothy theme today. Maybe we'll hold on to that, maybe not. Let's find out. I had decided that I would like to play this track from the label Minimal Wave, Tomo Akikawabaya, from Japan. And I actually don't quite recall what this track sounds like, but I do remember listening to it before the show and being struck by it. And I hope it's striking for you as well. I'm going to play it, and then pending on how this track sounds, I will determine what we will hear after that in the next 13 minutes or so. So I'll try and come back one more time to establish again what has been played on today's episode of Cue It Up. But if I don't have enough time, or if I'm kind of running against, you know, the limitations of that 12 minutes now, 12 minutes, that's the ticking clock, ticks for all of us, the great equalizer, say no to medication that prolongs a life. You know, we need death to keep us all equal. On that note, Tomo Akikawabaya, my apologies for not practicing this beforehand. Coming up next, what I'm meaning to say is coming up next, Steve Zhang's Asian Wave. Very excellent show. Chinese pop, Korean pop, worth listening to if you're interested in what's happening in those genres in the contemporary realm, but also dissecting what's happening in the songs individually, what's happening in the artists' lives, highly recommended. Let's get on with it. The song Mars. I'm
I heard my jewels. I knew he would be waiting his appeal. I might just body is shit tonight. This panic man at my wings getting less than the last months in my life. What I believe, and I am lost in your eyes. Never go with the day. I hear the idea of bananas. The curves of ignorance, this baby man.
listening to Queued Up on CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard Tomo Akikawabaya's Mars. And I are listening to I Will Never Die from Morning Coup. Local artist. This came with the album Baby Blue on No Sun Records. You gotta listen to a Ramsey track after this. Ramsey, producer from Montreal. Now also based in Vancouver. The track Gross Boya. And that'll be it for today's Queued Up. I'll be back next week. And hopefully it'll be a less spontaneous show. Although I always seem to be at my most animated when I'm forced to be spontaneous. So who knows, maybe it will be spontaneous. And we'll be better for it. New issue of Discorder out. Go and check that out. New stands, etc. Enjoy.
Tell them say in school whenever you see the shot put like this, so I'm gonna push them so if you are sitting on this.
Now.